If you have your scriptures this morning, find, if you would please, the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11 will be our text. And as we are continuing our study through this marvelous and wonderful book that God has given to us to teach us about our lives, to teach us about the truth of the Word of God, and to teach us about the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We took last week off as we went to the table of the Lord, and we will pick back up in a few more weeks in this wonderful book before we get to the great conclusion, the end of chapter number 12. That ought to just be a conclusion for the times, to anchor our heart, our mind, and our soul to the authority of the Word of God. Many weeks ago, months ago, we joined in with the preacher being Solomon, I believe, as he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the preacher was in the middle of an experiment and an investigation. And the experiment and in the investigation that he was doing was try to determine the answer to this one question. And the answer to this one question, the question was, is life worth living? And the preacher, or Solomon, was experimenting and investigating this question under the realm of perspective that dealt solely with a view that would be entitled to life under the sun. And so what Solomon did was he tried merely by human perspective and a perspective void of God, void of his word, void of his spirit, void of his power, void of his kindness, void of his love, void of his mercy, void of his grace, void of his compassion, void of his strength, void of his comfort, void of his tenderness, void of his voice and his presence, and all that Solomon could do as a void apart from God, he tried to find the meaning of life and answer the question, is life worth living? To the Bible student and those of us that know the Word of God, and to those of us that know the Lord Jesus, we are not surprised with Solomon's answer. For Solomon's answer was a resounding no. No, when you try to find meaning in life apart from God, no, you will never find any profit. No, you will not find to the level of gain that could be. And really and truthfully, if you strip God out of life, you will be surprised that life is really not worth the living. And we understand that. We live in a world today where people are trying to find meaning to life and value to life and gain to life and profit to life. And deep down in their soul, not necessarily in their mind, not necessarily in their conscience, not necessarily in their relationships, but down in the pit of your gut, there still reigns the question, is life worth the living? How many have ever seen the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? If you're over 40, your hand's probably up. If you're under 40, you're like, what's a groundhog and who's Bill Murray? He made a movie about the repetition of the day. And for a while, every time the man woke up, it was Groundhog Day. And the day was the same. And so he was trying to find purpose and joy and meaning. And in the movie, he got a redo at life. But in reality, life does not present many redos. I know for you golfers, there's something called a mulligan. I personally love the mulligan part of golf. I play with some guys who give no mulligans. I stop playing with them. Some give 1 of 9. They're okay, but the true Christian gives a mulligan on every hole, praise the Lord. I have been offered a lot of money for my foot wedge, and I carry it in my bag everywhere I go. Solomon, in his search for the meaning of life, came to the point in his life where he realized that when you strip God from life, you strip the value of life. Not that all life is not valuable or precious. We understand that. But the true satisfaction and profit to life is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you know the Lord, you know that to be true. Solomon had some groundhog moments, and he began to look at the vanity of his life. And to him, life, when stripped of the perspective of God or void of God, life took on a mundaneness. He got to the point where he said, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just the same old day every day. I hope that's not you. I hope you enjoy the days of your life. I think there used to be a soap opera called The Days of Our Lives. The only reason I know that, and if my mother is listening, I think she used to watch it. But strip that out of the text, okay? And concentrate on the moments of their lives. And Solomon said that when you strip God out of life, life becomes so mundane. It almost has a Groundhog Day effect, to the fact where you just hope your days go by and all you want to do is sleep at night. Or you hope that the nights pass as you are constantly thinking about things or whatever and longing the day approaching. But I'm glad with the Lord, every day is a new day. Every day is an opportunity to serve the Lord. Solomon was the wealthiest man to ever live, but he found when you strip God out of your life, or if God is void of your life, even your wealth does not satisfy. He's the one that wrote that money has wings and it wants to fly away. And so Solomon, as the wealthiest man, found that he could not even find meaning or profit in his wealth. His wealth became vain and futile to him. He also found that there was a vanity to his wisdom. And Solomon, being the wisest man alive, he found out that when you strip God out of your perspective or out of your life, then it's hard for life to make sense. And even as intelligent as he was, he was having a hard time understanding life. It had so many twists and so many turns, so many mountains and so many valleys. And intellectually speaking, the mind needs truth. I want to say this again. Intellectually speaking, your mind needs truth. It will not rest till it finds truth. And if it cannot find truth so it can rest, sometimes your mind has the ability to fabricate truth. Now, I never knew this to be true until I met some people, but do you know that you can tell a lie long enough that you'll actually believe it? Okay? It begins with, I look good. Just kidding about that, making sure you're awake. So the mind has to have truth. I got news for you. All truth is God's truth. Where did truth come from? It came from God. How do we know truth? Through God's word. When you face life with a perspective that is void of God and his word, then you face life void of truth. Solomon said, life is vain, my money is vain, and my wisdom is vain. Futile, passing, temporary. But he said there's one thing that is certain that even adds vanity to all of that. And that's death. And Solomon was not trying to be morbid, nor was he trying to be so somber or just beyond reason. But Solomon was saying that when you strip God out of your perspective and you try to find the meaning of life without God, you find that nothing makes sense, and you find that as you possess things, they don't satisfy, and underneath the activity of your life, you hear that drumbeat. That drumbeat of that day that is coming. And that is the day called death. Now, I don't want to be overboard here, but I want to tell you this. Every single person in this room will face the day of death. And Solomon said, man, that just haunted me. He said, I began to realize that my life does have an end. I began to realize that I'm not going to live forever. And then when Solomon, inserted God into his perspective, he began to realize that life is a gift from God. Some of you in this room have been close to death. Some of you know that had it not been for the hand of God, you should not be here. You survived the widowmaker. You rolled over in your car. You faced a bullet as it whizzed by. There was a close accident that just missed you. And you know that apart from just the very protective hand of God, you should not be here. And so when you come face to face with the reality that your life can end and there is the certainty that life will end, it begins to make life have a different perspective. Now, don't lose me. Here's the situation. Solomon said, if life is a gift and life has an end to it, God gives us richly all things to enjoy, then I should enjoy my life. And by the way, you should enjoy your life. You only have one life. You only have one life. Now, I don't know where you are on the perspective of life. I don't know if you're toward the end of your life or just beginning your life. I would tell you this, we all better have the mindset that at any moment we could go. At any moment we could go. And so as life begins to take on a perspective there, and Solomon said, I only have one life, and I'm trying to find profit and joy in this life apart from God. And I've got everything that you could imagine. I have all the money in the world. I have all the wisdom in the world. I have all the opportunity in the world. But down deep in my gut, I am empty, man. And I'm to the point where the life is becoming burdensome and heavy to me. And I don't even know that I even despair of my life. And that was the end of the road of a perspective without God. Once Solomon inserted God into his moments, he found that yes, life has its challenges, but God is faithful every day. Yes, he learned that even money could be used for the glory of God. He understood that wisdom was better than folly, and he understood that even there's no way to escape death. He could prepare for that moment, which would be eternal life, and the thought of that would enable him to enjoy his life now. So I want to ask you this question before I preach my message. Are you prepared to die? If you died today, where would you go? Well, Pastor, if I just died today, I'm just done. Life is over and I'm annihilated. My friend, that is not true. Read the Bible. The Bible says when you die, what is death? Think about this. It makes perfect sense. When you die, your body is in front of me. Have you ever seen a dead body? Okay. So your body lays there. I've been there, and don't take very long, and the body begins to stiffen, and the body begins to get hard, and the body begins to get cold. So what happened? How do we know you're dead? Your spirit and your soul left your body. Where did they go? Well, Pastor, they're just flying around somewhere. No. Well, Pastor, they went to purgatory. There's no such thing. Read your Bible. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I'll tell you exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says to the Christian, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when my bald head body's laying here, Tom Hunter is with the Lord. Or the Bible says about those of you that are not saved, and he died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean your spirit and your soul, when you die, they go to be with the Lord, or they go to hell. What makes the difference? Jesus makes the difference. Are you afraid to die, Pastor? You know, the longer that I'm alive, the less afraid to die I am. I don't want to die today, so don't kill me. But I have learned that as our loved ones go, heaven's getting a lot sweeter. And I understand what the Bible says, that when it comes time for me to go through the portal of death, it will be like sleep to me. Some of you are practicing right now. You're ready. Lord, take me now. I'm asleep. So I'm asking you point blank. If that's heaven and I'm God, bam, you're dead. Why do you get to go? Why do you get to go? Well, God, you know, I loved you. Not the right answer. Well, God, you know me all my life. Not the right answer. Well, God, I wasn't as bad as Malcolm. Close. Yeah, but I was the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church. Well, my dad, I grew up in a Christian home. But God, I loved you. I sang. I brought my Bible. I went to church. What do you mean I don't get to go? Depart from me. I never knew you. What do you mean you never knew me? I mean, I never was in you. The Spirit of God never birthed your spirit. You never repented, and you never put your faith and trust in me. You put your faith in Plantation Baptist Church. You put your faith in Tom Hunter. And I got news for you. If I didn't save him, he should go to hell. Have you been born again? The answer to that question you just gave ought to shake you to the core and make you run down this aisle and be saved? Or it ought to secure you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all my sin? Amen. And God's people said. Amen. So Solomon said this. Now with life to the Christian, as his world was colliding and he's trying to find perspective over here, where in a perspective without God and trying to find meaning. And Solomon says there's no value to life without God. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, he teaches us the secret to life. And he teaches us the secret to life and enjoying our lives by giving us two examples. One is the example of a merchant, and the other is the example of a farmer. The merchant is found in verses 1 and 2. Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Does he want me to go out there and throw bread on the ocean? No. What he's talking about here is he's talking about sowing and reaping. He's talking to the merchant who has grain. He's wanting the merchant to send his grain into the market, and he's wanting him to have a return on his investment. Look at verse number 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not. Underline that. We're going to do it 3 more times. This is imperative. Please underline that phrase. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. He talks to the farmer in verse number 3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. We live in South Florida. We understand that. If the trees fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. You're not going to move a tree that's fallen. It's too big. Verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not, underline that again, what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not, underline that again, the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not, there's our phrase again, whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now, what's Solomon trying to tell you? Here's what Solomon's trying to tell you. He's come off of the chapter of folly, and he's coming into the chapter of faith. And Solomon now is beginning to make his turn in his conclusion, and he realized that when his worlds collided, there was only one world that was true. And he's making his conclusion now, and he's coming out of that disparity where he tried to find the meaning of life without God, and he's realized that's just futile. Now he has inserted God into his perspective, and now he's going to teach you about our lives. And he's teaching us that life is a gift from God, and life is an adventure. Life has purpose. Yes, life has peril, but life is precious. And God wants you to serve the Lord with your life. And so he gives two examples. He gives the example of this businessman who's got all of this seed and this grain. And the businessman is supposed to send this out and to get a return. He's to sow and he's to reap. But the businessman is afraid of something. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what. What's that word, class? Evil. The businessman is afraid of the evil upon the earth. Now, I want you to ask this question. Is there evil upon the earth? Yes. But you cannot let evil paralyze you. We are watching evil unfold before our eyes. We are watching the world struggle with evil. And we're seeing all of this evil, but that evil that is in this world cannot paralyze God's child. For greater is he that is in us than he that is what? In the world. So the merchant man, he's afraid of the evil. Now the farmer, he's afraid of the weather. In verse number 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. Verse number 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, in both of these illustrations, both of these people are having to deal with circumstances that they cannot control. Both of these individuals are dealing with circumstances that they cannot control. Therefore, faith is required in their lives. And if the merchant and the farmer waited until the circumstances were ideal, they would never get anything done. Life has a certain amount of risk to it. Get used to it. Say that again. Life has a certain amount of risk. Get used to it. Now, here's the problem. And there's a little bit of the teaching here. You're going to stay with me. Here's why most Christians are like Bill Murray, although Bill Murray is not a Christian. Here's why most Christians live a mundane Groundhog Day life. Because the Bible says the just shall live by what, class? Okay, so let's just do some spiritual test here. Kind of a little gutsy question. Don't be afraid. Your first instinct is probably right. How many in this room would say before God, you are a just man or woman? Could I see your hand? Let me ask it this way. How many in the room know for sure you're going to heaven, you've been saved, you've been born again? Okay, you're just. Okay? All right? So how many in this room before God are just? Did they raise their hand? Oh, they raised their hand? Yeah, I'm not sure, Pastor. If you're not just, you're not saved. That's right. Who justifies you? Christ. Okay? So now, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is the trusting of God. It's not, sometimes people think that faith is just a leap in the dark and what will happen, and you're just trust you're going to make it okay. That's stupid. Faith is not some leap in the dark. Faith is a leap in the light of God's word. Okay? So when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, they're talking about faith that is trusting the authority of the Word of God. Now, here's the problem. When I try to approach my life without God and without God's word, and I try to approach my life without faith, then life begins to lose its adventure. And what happens is life then begins to be up to my intellect or up to my wallet or up to my relationships or up to my own inventions or up to my own peace or my own happiness. And I got news for you. I cannot do for my life what God can do for my life. And so most of the reason that good Christian people don't enjoy their life, or good Christian people look at life as mundane or futile or without life, without profit, is because we're not living by faith. Point number two. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, listen very carefully. If you cannot live by faith, you are not saved. Pastor, why would you say that? I want to live by faith, and I struggle with it, and I have all these things, but I want to live by faith. I didn't say it that way. I said this. If faith is impossible to find in your life, and you can never obey the word of God, you can never trust the word of God, you can never step out on God's word, you just are paralyzed, and you have no faith springing up in your life, no faith in your heart, no faith in your approach. The Bible says, the just shall, not they might, not only if it's good times, not if they're certain, the just shall live by faith. And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When I got saved, Jesus came into my heart. If Jesus in your heart, say amen. When Jesus came in your heart, he brought the faith of God. So the faith of God is in my heart. Now, whether I apply it or submit to it, I don't know. But within me is the ability to trust the Lord. It's a joy that God gives to God's child. So when God's child walks around the earth with never appropriating faith. Now Solomon says this. Life is a gift. The day of death is coming. And you want to know the Lord and serve the Lord and walk with the Lord by faith. Stop looking at all the circumstances. There's never going to be a perfect time to trust the Lord. There's never going to be a perfect time to obey the Lord. There's never going to be a perfect situation where it's just easy for you to do what God wants you to do. But my friend, listen, you must take advantage and you must do as God enables you to do. Don't sit around waiting for ideal circumstances. They're never right. But the word of God is eternal. And you don't know your life. And Solomon says now four times, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know. And you don't know. Pastor, why would God let evil into my life? Why did we have to go through that evil time in our lives? I don't know. But I know this. God is good and he's good all the time. Yeah, but Pastor, every time I want to step out and do something from God, my wife gives me a problem, or my husband gives me a problem, or my car breaks down, or I get this problem, or I get this problem. And man, I come home from church, and I am pumped up, and I'm fired up, and I'm ready to go, and then life smacks me right in the face, and it's Groundhog Day all over again. And now I'm back here and back here. And Solomon says this, yeah, life is dangerous. And life in your human perspective won't make sense. But let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God is all powerful? Do you believe that God is all knowing? Do you believe that God is everywhere all the time? Do you believe that God does not change? So if we believe like he's saying, and we believe just like he said, then I don't care what the wind says. I'm going out there to do what God wants me to do. I don't care what evil is out there. I'm going out there to do what God wants me to do. And none of those things are greater than my God. But if you let all of that pressure you, and you never step out by faith and trust the Lord and do what God wants you to do, you don't know verse 6. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall, what's that word? Prosper, either this or that. Whether they both shall be alike, what class? God has a time and purpose for everything. I gave this illustration earlier, I'll give it again. Preacher helped me one time when I was going through a hard time in my life. He said, Tom, you got to picture this. Picture the Lord sitting at a desk. Picture his desk being immaculate. Picture it all being in order, everything in order, because God's a God of order. And he said, picture him picking up the file with your name on it. This file has been delivered to his desk. This file could be delivered by Satan. This file could be delivered by your enemies. This file could be delivered by his angels. Some of the things in this file come from different compartments. He said, and the Lord opens up that file, and he takes out request number one, and he looks at it, and he says, oh boy, but I'm going to let Tom experience this. Approved. Oh boy, Tom can't handle that one. Denied. Yeah, if Tom will trust me, if he'll let me do what I can do, if he won't quit and he won't run, I'm going to let this one go. Approved. This one's going to hurt him. And I hurt for Tom, but he needs this one. Approved. No, Satan, you're not going to do that to my servant. Denied. Everything that comes into your life must go through the approval of your God. How could that be, Pastor? I don't know. But I know this. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. He's immutable. And he loves you. And life is an adventure if you live it by faith. That's why you got to use every day wisely. That's why you got to walk circumspectly. That's why that you must allow the word of God to build faith in your life. Listen, the secret to the joy of Christian life is living by faith. So I want to ask you a question, and we'll close. You can close your Bible. I'm done. I'm thirsty. Oh, there's water. Praise the Lord. So let me ask you a question. Last Sunday, we had communion. We passed out the bread. We passed out the cup. We worshiped the Lord together. From last Sunday until today, has your life been a groundhog day? Man, Pastor. Back at the grind, back at the routine. I'm here today. I'm going home to take a nap. Can't wait for football to come on. You're not preaching tonight, so I won't be here. Shame on you. Tomorrow I go to work. Same old, same old. The weekend, we're going to do something, whatever the wife wants to do. I don't know. The kids are doing whatever they're doing. Oh, I got something really exciting to do. It's my day to mow the grass this week. Mundane, mundane, mundane. So here's what I want to ask you a question. Was there any operation of faith in your life this week? And don't say you got out of bed and you're alive. I'm asking you, in the adventure of your life that God gave to you somewhere this week? Did you step out and did you walk by faith and trust the Lord? Can you find that moment in your brain? Then I would ask you this question. If you did that, did you find God to be faithful?
That's right.
Amen. Listen, you're not a groundhog. You're a child of the living God. Your life ain't a bunch of mess. Your life is ordained by God. Is there evil? Every one of us have faced it. Are there tough circumstances? Every one of us have tough circumstances. I mean this kindly, but butch up.
That's right.
Your circumstance was no greater than that cross. Your sickness is no greater than that cross. My pain, my evil, my tragedies are no greater than the cross of Christ. He knows our wounds. He knows our cries. He knows what's in our lives. But my friends, your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while. You better know you're saved, and the saved better walk by faith. And an adventure will open up to you as you serve the living God. Amen? Shall we pray?